Exodus chapter 40. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and you shall place the ark of the testimony there, and you shall screen the ark with the veil. And you shall bring in the table, and arrange what belongs on it, and you shall bring in the lampstand, and mount its lamps. Moreover, you shall set the gold altar of incense before the ark of the testimony, and set up the veil for the doorway to the tabernacle. And you shall set the altar of burnt offering in front of the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And you shall set the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it. And you shall set up the court all around, and hang up the veil for the gateway of the court. Then you shall take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and shall consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it shall be holy. And you shall anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar, and the altar shall be most holy. You shall anoint the laver and its stand, and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting, and wash them with water. And you shall put the holy garments on Aaron, and anoint him, and consecrate him, that he may minister as a priest to me. And you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall anoint them even as you have anointed their father, that they may minister as priests to me. And their anointing shall qualify them for a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Now it came about in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was erected. And Moses erected the tabernacle, and laid its sockets, and set up its boards, and inserted its bars, and erected its pillars. And he spread the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent on top of it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he took the testimony and put it into the ark, and attached the poles to the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up a veil for the screen, and screened off the ark of the testimony, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he put the table in the tent of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil, and he set the arrangement of bread in order on it before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he placed the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle, and he lighted the lamps before the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he placed the gold altar in the tent of meeting in front of the veil, and he burned fragrant incense on it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he set up the veil for the doorway of the tabernacle, and he set the altar of burnt offering before the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered on it the burnt offering and the meal offering, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he placed the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it for washing. And from it Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet. When they entered the tent of meeting and when they approached the altar, they washed, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he erected the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and hung up the veil for the gateway of the court. Thus Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting, because the cloud had settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel. Thus reads God's word. Exodus 40, 35 through 38. And throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel. As we finish our reading of the book of Exodus, we come to the final verses, filled with the truth that God was guiding the Israelites by the glory of His presence in the cloud that was on the tabernacle by day and the pillar of fire that was over it by night. This was to show that the Lord God Almighty was with His chosen people day and night, ever showing them the manner of their journey to the promised land. One of the aspects of this leading forth of the children of Israel by God was that they had to learn to wait for Him to go before them. They could not just begin to march and think that God would catch up with them and then direct their paths. No, they had to learn to patiently wait for the Lord to move the pillar of cloud and fire, then follow where He led them. We find this fully reinforced for us in Numbers 9, 15 through 23, if you would please turn to it in your Bibles. Numbers 9, 15 through 23. Now on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and in the evening it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle until morning. So it was continuously. The cloud would cover it by day and the appearance of fire by night, and whenever the cloud was lifted from over the tent, afterward the sons of Israel would then set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the sons of Israel would camp. At the command of the Lord, the sons of Israel would set out, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud settled over the tabernacle, they remained camped. Even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days, the sons of Israel would keep the Lord's charge and not set out. If sometimes the cloud remained a few days over the tabernacle, according to the command of the Lord, they remained camped. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. If sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, when the cloud was lifted in the morning, they would move out. Or if it remained in the daytime and at night, whenever the cloud was lifted, they would set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above it, the sons of Israel remained camped and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they did set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the Lord's charge according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. Notice, they were not constantly on the move. Sometimes they would march day after day after day. Sometimes they stayed in their camp for a few days, for a week, for a month, or for even a year. Everything was determined not by their ideas and their decisions, but by the movement of the Lord when He decided it was time to go ahead. This is something that is necessary for us to learn and to keep at the forefront of our ideas concerning the guidance and the leading of the Lord in our lives. So often, we think that we have to accomplish this or that within a time frame that we construct in our minds. We are so belabored by the passing of time that it can often rule our every effort and manner of living on this earth. With the swift passage of the years, we succumb to what this world puts forth as the need for instant gratification and immediate results. There is very little time for us to spare in the reality that we need to learn to wait on the Lord. Just the idea of having to wait for anything grates at our hearts and minds as the minutes and the hours and the days and the months and the years slip away from us. We need to learn to rest in the fact that while we are so encumbered by the constraints of time, the Lord isn't. He isn't at all. He controls the very element of time, and He uses it to perfectly accomplish all that He has determined from before even time existed. The traversing of the wilderness into the promised land was in exactly the correct number of years for the children of Israel to learn to be led forth only as He so directed, and at the precise time that He stipulated. It was not one day sooner, not one year later, than when He resolutely brought them to the River Jordan to begin their conquest of the nations arrayed against them. They were fully prepared to go forth under His leadership and guidance, and in obedience for the most part, through all the training of their being led for all those years in following the pillar of cloud and fire. The very first time that they moved was a year after the construction of the Tent of Meeting. For a full year, as we read in Numbers 10, 11 through 13, they stayed in that one place while they waited for God to make His way evident to them. Numbers 10, 11 through 13. Now it came about in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th of the month, that the cloud was lifted from over the tabernacle of the testimony. And the sons of Israel set out on their journeys from the wilderness of Sinai. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran, so they moved out for the first time according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. The timing of the Lord is always His perfect timing. That is something that is so difficult in which to relax. It is truly a treasure to come into that knowledge that we never want to rush ahead with our plans or to try to push the Lord to work at the rate and the pace that we set for Him. This is an area of audacious irreverence that infests many of our hearts. We try to get the Lord to do this or that in accordance with how we think things need to be done and when we want them to be done. We are never satisfied to simply trust the Lord to work on His time schedule. We often struggle with this in terms of how He is working in our family members or those whom we would like to see come to know Him in their lives. We will pray and pray and pray, urging the Lord to make Himself known to this one or that one, always struggling with the seeming lack of response from heaven. The truth is that He will do what He will do when He has chosen to do it. We cannot force Him to work on any time frame of our design. That sometimes means that we are praying for people for years and decades and generations without seeing any movement with our own eyes. All the while, we must learn to trust that God is hearing our prayers and He is working, but with the eternal consequences of His action in view. So often, when we try to make something happen in our efforts to cause this one or that one to see the truth in the depth of what they're experiencing, we tend to put a Band-Aid on a mortal wound. We give it a quick fix, while instead, God is working to establish an eternal change of heart. That is why we must learn to wait on Him to work and to respond only as He leads forth. It's like those wandering Israelites. They could only proceed as the cloud and the fire was lifted from above the tent of meeting and moved while they dutifully and obediently learned to follow. As we read later in this 10th chapter of Numbers, verses 33 through 36, the Lord's forward movement occasioned both their places of rest and their victorious stand in the face of their enemies. Numbers 10, 33 through 36. Thus they set out from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord journeying in front of them for the 3 days, to seek out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. Then it came about, when the ark set out, that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and those who hate thee flee before thee." And when it came to rest, he said, "Return thou, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel." God was their safety in moving ahead, and He was their provider, and He was their rest in His abiding presence. So it is in our lives as we follow His direction and His guidance. The prophet Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 9:19 through 21, was reminded of this abiding provision of the Lord in all those years of the wilderness, as recorded in his prayer to God. He understood how Yahweh made himself everything to those whom he brought forth from Egypt and whom he led step by step on the journey to the promised land. Nehemiah 9:19 through 21. Thou in thy great compassion didst not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way in which they were to go. And thou didst give thy good spirit to instruct them. Thy manna thou didst not withhold from their mouth, and thou didst give them water for their thirst. Indeed, 40 years thou didst provide for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. This is something else that is present in the manner in which God takes His time in dealing with you and me, His people. His patient supply of what each day requires works to establish our utter reliance upon Him. We see how each need is met through the constant supply of His grace and His mercy. Often, the means of His provision is simply put as miraculous, as He lovingly and gloriously shows us that His ways are far better than anything we could ever have imagined. To know Him in this course of our walk can only be developed as we tread the path under His guidance in obedient patience to see His hand covering our every day's requirements. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10:1 through 4, brings us to the forefront of our recognition of the life that is now ours in Jesus Christ. All that took place in the wilderness experience of the children of Israel was for the same purpose in their utter reliance upon God as is our walk today in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:1 through 4. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. The Apostle, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, then forged ahead with the fact that just like the Israelites were the recipients of the abiding covering of the Lord in the cloud of His glory, so are we covered in the abiding presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. We are brought in Him into a completely new relationship with God. In Christ, everything is new, and it is filled with the reality of Jesus bringing us into the full reconciliation with the triune Godhead. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It is Jesus who is our covering day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and decade after decade, until the end of time and throughout all the eternal ages to come. When time is no more, we will still be in His eternal presence, reconciled to God, and rejoicing in the living relationship that is found only in Him. It is through His very indwelling Holy Spirit that every step is ordered and directed unto His glory in our lives. While the Israelites were led by the pillar of cloud and fire, revealing the glorious presence of God and the paths they were to follow, we have Him directly in our hearts, guiding our every footstep. In Him, we have rest. In Him we have protection, and in Him we have every provision to meet the daily requirements of our obedient and patient and utter reliance of His going before us and showing us His glory. So be it. This brings us to the end of our consideration of the book of Exodus. When next we meet together, Lord willing, we will begin our reading of the book of Leviticus. And throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel. Amen.